All around the world, teenagers with ED rely on Cialis for Teens. Cialis for Teens is proven to work fast and last up to 36 hours. Before taking Cialis for Teens, ask your pediatrician if you're healthy enough for sexual activity. Then ask your dad to explain exactly what sexual activity is. Do not drink sugary caffeinated energy drinks in excess while taking Cialis for Teens. Cialis for Teens does not protect against STDs or help you get a date with a varsity cheerleader. In the event of an erection lasting more than 4 hours, be sure the bathroom door is locked and have plenty of magazines on hand. Cialis for Teens. When puberty arrives, will you be ready?
Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. This Year I'm Taking a Staycation.
Mr. This Year I'm Taking a Staycation.
In these tough economic times, we all must make sacrifices. And yours is the family vacation. So this year, instead of Disney World, you're going to Backyardland.
It's a small yard after all.
Wow, this resort has all the comforts of home. So when you see your neighbor pack up the family in his minivan, drive around the block and pull back into the driveway excitedly yelling, "We're here!" Don't think he's crazy. He's Mr. This Year I'm Taking a Staycation, a real American hero.
This year I'm taking a staycation.
You sent me a postcard from your den? Gee.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
And good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, April 28th. We're back in the studio live. Yet once again with our beautiful Kara.
Oh, thanks, Sam.
And the not so beautiful Sam.
Whatever, Sam.
Yeah.
Somebody thought
well,
you were
women
sexy.
Are always prettier.
That's so true. Don't forget that shit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work this computer, but whatever. Back to you.
Why? Is it a problem?
I don't know how to double click. Oh, here we go. They were double clicking on the E. Never mind. We're in business. We're in business, people.
Yeah.
Worldwide web. Worldwide web.
It's not a Mac. Get used to it.
Man, have you ever had a Mac?
Yeah, I've had Macs before.
And which one do you like better?
I'm not crazy about them.
Why?
Because. They're too constrictive, I think.
In
they
what
don't,
way?
In many ways. It's,
you don't
it's,
like that
it's
you,
technical. I don't want to get into it.
You don't
you.
Like the fact that you don't get viruses? You like a good virus?
That's bullshit. People get viruses. You know what? In all my computing years, I never had a virus. Believe it or not.
Even on PCs?
Yeah.
Or a PC?
Even on PCs. And that's what I've used most of my life.
Is it,
it's just that there's a lot more for it. You know, a lot more software, a lot more support. So it's a lot easier. With a Mac... It's still, you know, although it seems like they're very popular and they are, but they still only hold about less than 10% of the PC market.
So?
So there's not a lot, it's not a huge market, and therefore not a lot of people develop for it. Not as much as for the PC, that's for sure.
I feel like Macs are more popular, they seem like they're, or maybe it's just LA.
They are popular, yeah, with LA and stuff. But, I mean, look, you're buying sort of like a status symbol. And, I mean, they are fun, they're beautiful, they're attractive, you know, I like Apple products, but I wouldn't use a Mac. Not for the things that I do. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, for surfing the internet and email and stuff, it's perfect.
It's better for creative stuff, I think.
No, it's bullshit.
Are you kidding me?
It's bullshit, because that's what it used to be, okay? But now all the programs on the Mac, almost 99% of what's available on the Mac is also available on the PC. So how do you possibly get more creative? I don't know. I've been very creative over my years, and I've used PCs. You know, I've had Macs before, too, you know? But they've got their own share of problems. They also freeze, and they crash, and you know?
Mine?
I don't like the fact that because it's proprietary for Apple, they charge you double of what you'd get if you bought a PC, you know? I mean, for your MacBook Pro, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's a MacBook. It's a MacBook.
A MacBook.
But it's kind of
It's a later one, later model, right?
It's like last year's model.
Right, exactly.
But it's not
so
a Pro.
So it is pretty new.
Yeah, it's only a year old, like a year and a half old.
Yeah. So that what? Costs about $1,500 or something for that?
Yeah, somewhere around that.
You see, like a PC would cost half that.
I mean, you know I didn't pay for it, right?
Well, I don't know. But at any rate, what I'm saying is that it's, you know, it's way overpriced, I feel. You know, yes, it's fun and everything, but... no way I'm spending $1,500 on an underpowered laptop. And that's what it is. I mean, if a MacBook Pro sells for $2,600, then you know yours is not as powerful as that by any means.
No, but a MacBook Pro, I mean, it's so many different editing programs. It's got so many
No, you can run the same programs. Yeah, you get the same programs with every
Maybe
computer.
You're a guru and you know how to not have viruses, but everybody that I know that's have PC gets tons of viruses.
No, I just, you know, I don't go into shitty sites, you know. I don't know what to tell you, but... And sometimes I don't even have an antivirus program. I just don't get them. It's, you know, it's not that widespread as you might think, you know. And besides, I know Macs that have gotten viruses too. It's just... The only reason they don't have a lot of viruses is because it's such a small... segment of the market that nobody bothers developing viruses for.
Why do people develop viruses anyway? Don't they have better things to do?
Some of them, you know, are like hackers and they want to prove that they can do it.
That's all?
Yeah.
You're telling
me
that. And
some of them are malicious, I'm sure. I'm sure there's some malice in many of them.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I don't understand the point. Just, hey, I can jump into your computer. Or
right.
Are they trying to get information or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
You know?
Trying to cause havoc and...
Yeah, but I just don't understand. I don't understand, like, you know, what's to gain.
Right. Well, I can't pretend to understand either. But what I'm saying to you is, I think that it makes them feel good that they've accomplished something, because it's quite difficult programming to create a virus. I'm sure. You know, it's not that simple. So when they manage to do it and they can penetrate other people's computers, I guess it makes them feel good.
Well, I guess it's just funny. I don't know. I mean, I just say go make a good meal or go make some friends or something.
I agree with that.
What do you think?
But not everybody's like you.
What do you mean everybody's not like me?
Unfortunately.
I mean, everybody's not like me. Everybody's like me. Crazy man.
Can you see a whole army of Karas?
Oh, gosh. I always make a joke. I'm like, you know what? It takes a lot of different people to make the world go around. If everybody was like me, then we would... not have any bridges, we wouldn't have like a sanitary water system, we'd all be hanging around wondering if the world was still flat, but having a good time, like sitting around a campfire.
I see.
No okay. Wheel was developed.
Nobody'd be having sex, that's for sure.
Whatever. No, it'd just be lots of fun. It'd be a lot of fun. It'd be a lot of fun.
I like that, whatever.
Well, my point is, you know, I think that we need everybody. You know, we needed some people to be nerds in high school so that they'll invent things.
There you go.
Because they didn't have any friends. They had to tinker around with a Bunsen burner and like a, you know, chemistry set. And here you go. Boom. There's a potion that fixes something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or boom. They're civil engineers. And now we've got, you know, bridges and things.
Yeah. But that's what, you know, that's what amazes me is that the feats that humanity's been able to reach, you know?
Mm.
I mean, there's like incredible things when you think about it. We're like organic beings, you know? It's not like we're machines or anything. Yet it. Look at everything we've been able to create, you know, and discover. And I think it's just amazing.
Mm.
Really is amazing what humanity has accomplished. And I know a lot of people would beg to differ. And a lot of people like to badmouth humanity. You know, look what we've done to the planet. Look what we're doing here. And I don't see that. No, I don't see that. I see the accomplishments. When I watch the Olympics, I go, wow, look at all these people, you know.
But what about, I mean, I'm with you. I don't like sitting around just complaining about the country or about, you know, humanity. But at the same time, I have to ask, you know, do you see the negative too, right? Because you're not like born yesterday.
Of course, there's a lot of negative. But, you know, why look at that? Why be preoccupied with it? I mean, to me, it's just amazing that people have been able to create what we've created.
No, you're right, but I think what it is learning from history, learning from our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this world's never going to be perfect.
No, of course not. It wasn't by design.
Not till it's said and done.
If it was perfect, there wouldn't be any reason for us to be here. You know, I think that's the essence of life, is to come here and overcome the imperfections, you know, and get beyond that, you know. I think that's the essence of creation. I mean, otherwise, why? I don't understand why else God would have created this unless there was some kind of purpose. You know?
Absolutely.
And if it was perfect, then there wouldn't be anything for us to do here.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you on that. Let me ask you, Viagra.
Yeah.
Ever used it?
You know what? A couple times maybe, but I don't really have a use for it. It's just that...
It's an idea, right?
Yeah. I would imagine, I don't know, if I got to the point where I needed it, I probably would.
But, I mean, I was reading... No, it was the little clip that they were just playing, the little humorous clip. And
yeah,
making
the
a joke.
Cialis for teens.
Yeah, but what's this whole like erection 4-hour thing? Does that happen with the, like a Viagra? I mean, what do guys do with a 4-hour erection?
I don't think it stays like that. If you have sex and stuff, you know, then it doesn't have to stay hard.
Well, I was watching an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians on the E! Channel, and the mother had accidentally put a Viagra in her husband's coffee. Okay, well, the son took the coffee on accident. And he had, like, a boner for the whole day.
Really?
And so he went to the emergency room because he was like, what's going on?
Really?
And the mom had to say, hey, look, yeah. I spiked it. I thought it was for your dad. My bad.
Right.
Anyway, but my point is it made me think about, like, the dangers that could happen with that. And I know I've read something or heard something about people that have blood pressure issues or things like that that take certain kinds of medication that they can't have the Viagra.
Right.
Because if they have a medical issue, let's say they have some kind of heart. I can't remember what it is, but there's a thing that paramedics give people when they have a heart attack, that if you're on Viagra, you can't do it.
Really?
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know. There's sure a lot of blood flowing to your penis. Let me tell you that. Maybe it makes you lightheaded, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting to think about the blood flow.
Yeah.
And how it kind of goes there.
That's what makes it hard. So the thing is this, is that it's not going to make you horny, but if you're horny and you can get an erection, it'll keep it going.
Oh, that's all. So it doesn't make you aroused.
No, it doesn't really arouse you. It doesn't make you have an erection. You know, you've got to be, you still got to be turned on.
Oh, okay.
And then what it does, essentially, it kind of blocks the blood from leaving the penis, you know?
Okay.
So it kind of leaves it there. It's amazing how it works, you know?
So if you do get an erection, it basically, it kind of cuts it in there. Like,
right.
Boom, you can't pass, you can't leave.
Exactly.
Is that unhealthy, though?
I don't know. But that's the only reason I know that is because I remember when it came out, they had an article in Time magazine about it, and they explained how it works, you know? And I thought, wow, you know, this is, like, incredible. But it's changed many people's sex lives forever, I'm sure.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Well, you know what? I mean, if I was married and it was, you know, I wouldn't have a problem. You know, let's pop in one in.
Yeah.
If need be.
Yeah.
But do they have stuff like that for women? Do women need that kind of thing? Or?
I don't think women need that because you don't have to have, you know, I mean,
I guess
you do have lube, you know, to.
I think for women, they think they want something to make them more aroused. But see, I guess what we're saying is this isn't an arousal thing. It
just
sustains it.
Exactly.
So, which makes more sense why men
need it. It enables you to perform.
Which is why men need it, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. But women, you know, I mean, some women need lube as well, you know, so we all need a little help, you know.
Lube. Yeah,
you'd be amazed how many women need that.
No, I know friends of mine that use it. I mean,
really?
There's nothing wrong with it. They just work it out.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. Some bodies don't get as moist as others, you know. Depends. But if you get turned on, I can't see how you wouldn't, you know.
How you wouldn't what?
Get wet. Like really wet.
No, I think it's just a body thing.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's some people's bodies just don't.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you go on for hours, I would imagine you'd want some too, you know. Because after a while, it dries up down there.
Yeah. Well, I think it's your body telling you to freaking give it a 10-minute break or something.
Yeah.
Hey, relax. Don't
too long.
Don't artificially pump me full of jelly and tell me to keep working this thing out. Maybe it's just time to, you know, turn it off.
Yeah.
Take a breather or something. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, you're getting ready for your birthday?
I'm getting ready.
How's it going down? I'm excited. I can't wait.
I don't know. I'm not really involved in the preparation.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
Yeah, I was asked to stay out of it, so I'm staying
out of
it.
Hey, listen, we're going to take care of your birthday. I need you to just, like, not exist right now.
Exactly.
So,
which suits me just fine.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
That's fun when somebody else is taking care of your birthday, though, for you.
I know. I never had that before.
You just have to show up.
Yeah.
Do it. When was the last
time
you had...
That would be cool.
When's the last time you had your birthday, like, had a party?
Not for a long time. Many years.
Really?
Yeah, usually we just do something together, you know?
You haven't had a party in a long time?
No.
Oh, well, this is a great one, huh?
Yeah, this will be cool.
And I'm excited for you.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of guests coming in around 10 o'clock this morning. We have May and Char, and they have a new show called Going Commando on our station.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And, yeah, they're a lot of fun, you know, so we should have some laughs here when they show up. And so great show for you today. Tomorrow we're going to have another great guest, and we'll debate many different things.
Oh, is it going to be awful? Is it going to be good?
It should, yeah, it should be some. It should be interesting.
Yeah.
For sure, you know. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's cool.
So we've got, I saw that you posted, we have 80 shows total.
Right.
That's pretty cool,
yeah.
Huh?
And, you know, several of them daily. So you're looking about 100 hours every week worth of shows, you know.
How many hours are in a week?
A lot. But this average is about, you know, eight shows a day or something, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. 2 years, huh?
Yeah. Actually, there's more. Yeah, that's the average. But there's there's a lot more. It's growing. I'm not even keeping up with how many shows and all that. But it's growing, and I'm really feeling good about this. You know, we're getting some great talent. We have some more great talent coming up. So stay tuned for the station. I mean, there's definitely a lot of surprises coming up.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds super duper, man.
Yeah. So did your friend have fun here yesterday?
Oh my gosh, he said. You know what he told me? He goes, you guys are a lot of fun, and he said he's done a lot of other shows. He likes that this has a very open forum format to where you can just, doesn't have to be like, I think a lot of comics come on shows and they have punchlines. They're like, ask certain leading questions to get them to do their comedy bits,
right?
Which is great. I mean, you need that in some regard, but sometimes you just want the personality and the person to be the driver, and then the humor kind of be organic, and then actually go into real conversation. And so he really liked that.
Yeah, well,
and
I personally
like that too.
In radio, to succeed, you have to be honest, you have to be open, you know, otherwise people sense it.
Yeah,
you know, and God knows we're pretty open here.
I'm way open,
you know. People know our entire lives.
I know, but I stopped telling people that I'm, you know, my date, I'm like, it's not the way I want you to get to know me.
Yeah,
because it's too revealing. Like if I'm doing this like internet dating thing or whatever, and I just keep it vague of what I, you know, I mean, entertainment or whatever, and I'll go into some of the different venues I do, but I don't really go into, hey, you can check me out here, because I just noticed that's just too revealing.
Yeah, it is.
It's too revealing. And one guy's like, hey, I listened to your show. I was like, because, you know, every show is so different from the last.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea what I said on that. You know, is it the farting one, which is so awful? If you're just meeting a guy and it's me and my roommates and we're like, yeah, we're gals, you know, or is it like, you know, political and I sound, you know, like a crazy conservative, or is it, you know.
I decided to start looking for good clips and putting them together, you know. So, like, from different shows and
stuff.
Oh,
that's a good idea. Yeah, kind of as like a little promo.
Stuff, but I really have to start paying attention more when I do the show summaries and everything, you know, to listen to every word and every
topic. Now, we've had some pretty heated debates on here.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of great conversations.
Yeah.
For crying out loud, you know.
You know, you and Lacaris, or LD, I know him as Lacaris, going off on me, tell me I dress for men. I think that was hysterical. I'm like, who even thinks that? I don't even think that way.
Uh-huh.
But it's funny, because I like how people like to break it down. I'm like, I don't dress for men. I dress like a woman. And I just remember it was getting, like, heated. It was fun, though. It was getting fun. But, so, anyway, what are your plans for the weekend? Anything fun?
The weekend's still far off, okay? You're asking
me too
soon.
LA, man. It's LA. Wednesday starts the weekend.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wish.
Wednesday starts the weekend. We're having a little potluck tonight, if you want to come over.
Yeah? That sounds good. How many
Laid
people?
Back. About eight, 10 people getting to get a conversation, laugh, debate, just that whole thing.
Mm.
You know, eat a lot of food.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I just realized I'm not going to be doing anything this weekend because I'm getting my tooth extracted on Friday.
Which one?
In the back. You know, in the back, there's a tooth
that needs
to be taken
out.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So why? What's wrong with it? Just all old and dirty and done?
Yeah, they can't do much with it. So. So I'm concerned that I'm going to be in pain. You know, I think they say your face swells. And
I had a wisdom tooth pulled. I actually need a couple more knocked out, but I had one done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it wasn't good, Sam.
No, huh?
It wasn't good. I'm not going to lie.
It's not fun, yeah. How long ago was that?
I'd say about a year ago.
Oh, really?
8 months ago.
Oh,
ago.
Wow.
Have you had your wisdom teeth pulled, or are these your wisdom
teeth? Yeah, but that was a long time ago. You know, I would imagine they have new technology now to extract teeth and stuff, you know. But from what I understand,
good old slice it open and yank it out.
Yeah.
And put some gauze in your mouth and tell you to take Tylenol. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, I'm not taking Tylenol. I want some powerful pain pills there.
Just don't get addicted to pain pills.
No,
it happens like this, though. It happens like this for people.
I know. They start getting a few, and then they go, wow, I feel good.
And I also think it's not just I feel good. It's the calm down off of it. Like when people are just, you know.
Yeah, it makes you very calm. Oh, you mean coming down?
Yeah, coming off of it where you're just, you know, you're like itchy and it's just crazy and changes your personality. And I think it's hurt a lot of people that way.
Yeah, if they abuse it, of course.
Well,
yeah.
I think that for some people, it's not even abuse. It's just it gets to abuse, of course, which is addiction. But I mean, I think what happens is it's they go in for a routine. They're given pain pills. They have to be on the pain pills for a week or so. And then it becomes something that's in their body now that they crave.
Right.
And some people, you know, fight it off. Some people they start doing it recreationally. I mean, I have friends that are, you know, addicted to this.
Yeah.
And my mother's addicted to it.
Really?
Still.
Yeah.
Years.
No, I wouldn't get addicted. I wouldn't even know where to get them. You know? I mean, how often are you, how many times is your dentist going to give you pain pills? You know, once,
No, it's
twice.
Just there's a black market for it. You can get it anywhere.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not into that at all.
I know you're not. I'm just saying watch out, Sam.
I'll watch out.
Beware of the tooth painkillers.
Yeah.
I don't want to see you a week from now pushing a grocery cart in a back alley.
Yeah.
You know, going through trash with no teeth.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, but good luck with that tooth.
Yeah.
Good luck with that tooth. That's all
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I need a lot of pills, you know. You see, my mom suffers from her back, right? She's got a lot of pain. So they put her on OxyContin, right? And so I thought I'd sneak one out and see what it's like, right? Felt absolutely nothing. Nothing. Then I went and took another one because I said, I mean, OxyContin's supposed to be strong. It's supposed to do this and that for you. Did absolutely nothing for me, two of them. I don't know how many milligrams, but it wasn't, you know. There wasn't anything there that would be addictive to me. You know, I didn't get high off of it. But the interesting thing is that I know my mom's not really hooked on it. I don't see her, like, enjoying it, you know, or needing it or anything, you know.
Really?
But, yeah, other than for the pain, you know. But I'm sure, because I think for people that don't want to get high, it's just the feeling of being dizzy and lightheaded and stuff, you know. It's not something pleasurable. Yeah. Not everybody's prone to getting addicted to drugs, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, this is revealing. I just got information from my little brother that my mom was admitted to the hospital for ODing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I can't get a hold of her, so I don't really know.
Well, like right now? I mean...
No, I think she's already been released, but I think it just happened, like, the last few days.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
Wow, that's scary. Aren't you, like, worried?
I am, but I'm not very close to her, so it's one of these things that, you know, it's weird. You don't really know how to feel.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you're like, this is a life. This is my mother, you know.
Right. I should love her, but
I mean,
don't
I do
really,
love
yeah.
her. No, I do love her. I mean, come on, I love her, but I'm not. That's different than having intimacy with somebody.
Yeah.
And being close.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I got off the phone with her, I guess, about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. 3, maybe 4 weeks ago. I can't remember. But it was a really rough... I could feel her sadness. You know when you're near somebody and you're talking to them and you feel that it's not just, oh, I'm having a bad day or, oh, this is kind of sad. You feel a weight.
Yeah.
I felt her weight. It was like, and it was through the phone. I was like, oh, that's just too much. I remember I got off the phone and I was like, it's a darkness that's just, it takes more than what I can do to help.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take a lot of prayer. It's going to take intervention, things like that to really help somebody get out of that. But I mean, there's just like this, you know, kind of black hole type feeling.
Right.
Well, then it's so, you know, a week ago, I guess, or close to a week ago, you know, she was found in her apartment, you know.
Wow.
OD'd. And I don't know.
So she's not married now, right?
She's not married right now.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really weird. I mean, you think, you know, if you have your mom, you'd be up on this, you'd know about it. But I mean, it's just crazy.
Wow.
I just found out about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get in touch with her, but. I know she's not. I don't think she's in the hospital anymore, so I'm just waiting for her to call me. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is. Don't you miss having a close mother?
Well, you know, yes and no, but I feel like I've been blessed in other ways. So, for example, when I was younger and I moved in with my dad, I missed my mom like crazy. I mean, she's your mom, you're a young girl. So, I mean, I had my period for the first time, and my mom wasn't there, and that was kind of a weird thing. My stepmom was there, and my stepmom was a total raging bitch.
Really?
So I didn't really want to talk to her about having my period, because we were actually in a fight, and I started my period on my way to school, and I didn't want to tell her.
Really?
So I didn't tell her for, like, a few days. And I really wanted my mom there, but my mom wasn't well, you know what I mean? She's not capable to take care of kids really well, take care of kids. So after a while, you just get over it, you know, you just stop. And I wasn't close to my stepmom or my dad that much, so you just get very self-sufficient.
Right.
And so, yeah, I missed her a lot growing up. But then when I hit, you know, high school, it was just, it was pretty much not there anymore.
Right.
And I didn't see her for 8 years. So
then
there was a real sense of just somebody that I'm related to, but I don't really know. I always loved her. I mean, she's your mom. You can't not love your parent, I don't think. Even if you're pissed off at them, you totally love your parents. You know, I love my dad, I love my mom. You know, there's no way.
Right.
Well, then when I was in my sophomore year in high school, I moved in with my aunt, who we have like this amazing bond. It's hard to explain, but she's like my mother, and she's also like my best friend. And our personalities are so similar. It's just a God thing, because when you meet somebody, like, I didn't really know my Aunt Deborah growing up that much, but then it just stumbled upon moving in with her, and we start finding out that there's a personality that, like, her personality and my personality are almost, we're very different still, but we're almost identical.
Really?
I mean, she's a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
She writes children's songs. Doesn't matter where you are, she's going to sing you a children's song.
Really?
Even if you're not a child.
Uh-huh.
I always make a joke, if she's on a date, she's going to, like, try to sing a children's song to the guy and, like, you know, mother him or something. I always make this joke, like, she's going to bust out her little
kid. She's going to run for the
hills. She writes children's books. She's fiery and feisty. I mean, so feisty. And she loves life, loves God, loves people. And so there's just this... there's this fire that's in her that I really feel like God put in me. And so when I moved in with her, there's just a lot of things came to life in me that really were kind of dormant and that I didn't know were there, but it ignited something in me.
Yeah.
And it was so I can't say that I've really missed out. I mean, of course I missed out on knowing my mom, and there's been a weird void, but I've been so filled in other areas that it doesn't feel like I haven't had a mom. Like, my Aunt Deborah is like my mom. Pretty much. She pretty much is my mom.
So now you this hasn't caused you, like, to sort of, like, be afraid of commitment and attachment to people and things like that?
Yeah, I don't know. Let me think about that for a second. Has it caused that? I don't feel like it has.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's funny. My mom, okay, she's not all the way there. So I do have a lot of comedy on her, which is actually kind of wrong. But this is how it goes. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's always doped up on something. Married 6 times. Currently single.
Mm-hmm.
The phone rings. She's like, I'm like, hello. She's like, hello, this is Lorraine, okay? Hey, it's your mother, okay? This is your mother, Kara, okay? Listen, I just want to know why you have not called me on your birthday to wish me happy birthday and send me a card on your birthday. She does stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, Mom, it's my birthday. Whatever, that's beside the point. Anyway, so do you have a man in your life yet? Are you getting married anytime soon? Do you have a man in your life yet? Do you have a man in your life yet? I'm like, no, I'm okay with that right now. It's good. It's good. I don't really tell her that stuff anyway.
Right.
And she's like, well, you know, you might want to start getting on top of that, Kara. You might really want to start getting on top of that. And I think it's hysterical because, like, if her or my dad, which I don't have deep conversations about relationships with them at all.
Right.
But I think it's funny if they have an opinion on any of it, because they're completely disqualified in my book. I'm like, I love you guys, but let's be honest. You both don't have a good track record when it comes to relationships.
Yeah.
So... I know you love me, but you're probably not, I'm not, you know, your opinions really aren't going to register that high. You know, my mom's been married 6 times trying to tell me I need to get on top of it.
Yeah.
How about this? I'm doing it once. That's the idea. Doing it once. If it takes me a long time to do it, that's fine.
Right.
I don't want to do it 6 times. No offense.
Yeah.
It's your hobby. It's what you like. That's great.
But
good for you.
That's your cup of tea.
But I'd rather be single, having a great time, and then when I meet the right person, get married.
Right.
You know, even if that means later on in life.
Right.
And, so I just think it's funny. My dad one time, he was like, I was 27, which was just a year ago, but 27, which I still think is really young. I mean, in LA, it's young. It's not young in some ways, but in some ways it's like when it comes to marriage and kids and things like that, that's still kind of young to be doing that. Everybody's still pursuing their dreams.
Right.
So I went back and they're like, oh, you're 27. Like, where's the kids? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, yeah, I'm 27. Did you not get that part? I'm 27. Like, not rush this shit.
Yeah.
You know, let it marinate a bit. Let it simmer a bit.
Yeah.
Let it relax.
Well, they don't know what's going on in your life. You know, they probably forgot how old you are.
Yeah.
Your parents.
That's funny. No, it's really funny. Get this. My sister, Christy, she called me on Thanksgiving one year, and this is how the conversation goes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is my mom's side of the family. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Ring, 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 ring. Hello? Happy Thanksgiving, Kara. Today, Grandma gets out of prison. I'm not even lying, Sam. What? Grandma's still alive? I didn't even know she was living. Yeah, she went to prison for holding up a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow.
I said, are you kidding me? She's like in her 60s getting out of prison. She's like, don't tell Mom, but she's going to come stay with me on Thanksgiving because she's family. You can't turn your back on family. And I was like, I won't tell her because Mom is pissed off at Grandma still.
Yeah. Is that the grandma from your mom's side
of
the family?
From my mom's side of the family, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Just all shades of crazy.
Families, man. I'm telling you. Families are freaking crazy.
All shades of crazy, Sam.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All shades of crazy.
I know.
You know, but what are you going to do? It's fun, funny material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is funny. It is funny.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real time station. Your 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Tara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Where the hell did you disappear on me?
I had to go to the bathroom.
I'm going, something. What happened to her?
No, I had to go to the bathroom, and I had to, like, go to the bathroom, you know what I mean? And there was, like, there's another lady in there, and I didn't want to go with her.
I know. It's hard to do, you know?
I'm just like, hurry up and freaking leave. She didn't. I was like, well.
Yeah. Gonna have to wait for the next break, huh?
Like, well, no, I didn't.
He just went.
She's gonna have to deal with it. Well, if you're gonna hang out in the bathroom that long, you're gonna have to Good morning, world. Good morning.
That's why I make sure I go every morning, so I don't have to go.
I can't program it and tell my body when it needs to do it.
I think you can get regular though. No.
I mean, regular means you just there's a daily.
Like you do it
daily.
Every day, yeah. At the
yeah,
same time.
Yeah, but the same time. I think yeah. it's well. I don't know. I'm not that old.
I don't know. When I get up in
I
the morning,
I think old men
I'm
are a little different.
Old men.
Well, men are like morning coffee and my paper for 5 hours in the bathroom. I think that's a guy thing.
I don't do that. I don't do that at all. When I was younger, I used to read in the bathroom. Now, no, just in and out, man.
In and out.
In and out. That's what it's all about.
In and out. That's what it's all about. That's so funny. Oh.
Yeah. So did you hear that Sandra Bullock has a baby boy? Now, apparently, we didn't see her pregnant. That's because she adopted him. And so she just announced it. She has a, and she kept it secret all this time. But a 3.5-month-old boy born in New Orleans.
Wow.
Yeah. She's 45 years old. She sure looks good, huh?
Yeah, she looks beautiful.
Yeah.
That is so sad, you know? I'm just trying to tell you. That's why infidelity, it just screws with so much
That's
stuff.
True. So now she's going to have to be a single mom.
She says...
She's leaving that guy, right?
Yeah, she said right here, it says, yes, I filed for divorce. This is an interview with People Magazine. It says, I'm sad and I'm scared, is what she wrote.
Right.
41, began the adoption process, da-da-da-da-da. She says, you wake up, you feed, you burp, you play, you do laundry, she said, and I'm still in that stage where I am just amazed with him and life.
Mm.
And all I said when I met him was, oh, there you are. It was like he had always been a part of our lives. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's so hard. I mean, you bring kids into this world, you adopt.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder why she adopted. Do you think she just didn't want to ruin her body, or maybe she can't have kids?
Who knows? I mean, why not adopt sometimes? I mean, there's so many kids that do need places. It's kind of like...
That's true.
You know? Why not just go for the adoption?
Because it's not the same, you know? It's not the same.
I mean, I get it. I mean, there's something beautiful about passing on your genetics, I guess, and having that be from you. But I also think there's just something beautiful about love that transcends...
Absolutely.
You know, all the natural...
Blood.
Yeah, there's just something really great about that. But, you know, it's just so sad when people... and it happens all the time, but, you know, Tori and Dean, you know that them?
No.
Tori Spelling.
Oh, yeah,
Dean
Tori
McDermott.
Spelling, yes.
Well, you know, he was married, and she actually, his original wife, wrote a book. And I can't remember what it's called. But it talks about their divorce and also how, like, Dean and Tori, like, set up a meeting for her to meet... For Tori Spelling to meet... His wife.
I see.
To kind of smooth things over. I don't know. How in the world do you think that's smoothing things over? And I've not read the books. So I don't know the details. But I just started thinking, like, how do you have the balls to take someone's husband or be a part of that? You're not taking, you're not forcing him, but you're part of this infidelity.
Right.
And then you want to walk over to the woman and try to smooth things over.
Yeah.
Explain to her that you're soulmates, that you couldn't help it, and excuse all... different types of responsibility because it's some cosmic force that you can't control and she needs to just deal with it.
Right.
But the sad thing was that they were in the process of adopting a child.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know if she still was able to get the adopted child or not.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
they can. I mean, those celebrities have a lot of pull when it comes to adopting kids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at them. You know, many of them, or let's say some lesbian women, you know, were able to get kids and, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, some people probably should not adopt, just like they shouldn't have kids.
I know.
But what are you going to do? You know, sometimes people come across as they'd be great parents and they end up not being great parents.
Well, it's hard to say because, like, I've said this before. I'm like, my mother and my dad should not have had kids.
Yeah.
For their sake. They're not, they didn't like being parents. That wasn't, it was hard for them. They didn't have the tools or the resources. They didn't understand how to do it. They're not awful people, but they just, parenting was like the last thing on their list. I mean, it was in the way.
Yeah.
And it was constantly, even when I lived with my dad, it was constantly growing up that you felt this, you felt bad that they had to be your parent. Mm. Like, you felt like you're putting them out.
Right.
Sorry,
guys. How terrible
guys.
Is that, man?
Well, you know, people do it all the time, not unknowingly. They're just burdened by life, and they, you know, parenting is, it's not that they hate their kids, but they're just trying to survive, and right. So they just put that on their kids.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but they would always talk about, I can't wait till you guys are 18 and out of the house. I mean, they would always talk about that.
Really?
Yeah, so there was, I was like, why did you do it then? I mean, because my dad and my mom, I mean, they were married, and they wanted to have kids, but it's kind of like you didn't really think this thing through, did you?
Yeah.
But the reality is that I say that with for their benefit, life might have been better not having children. But then look at me. Ta-da!
Yeah. There you go. And no, you know, amazes me is that you're not screwed up from all that upbringing, you know? I mean, normally,
I'm perfect. I'm so perfect.
Yeah,
I have no issues.
I'm sure there's things we don't know about, but that's beside the point.
Oh, no, I've got a lot of issues.
Know?
But but that's my point there's so many people that have not had the traditional or the loving or nurturing upbringing that children deserve.
Right.
And I'm not saying I didn't have any of those qualities, because I did. I mean, there was some love in my house, but... Mm-hmm. You know, there's people that had a lot worse and had it very abusive, very destructive.
Right.
And some of those people are some of the most magnificent people. Look at Oprah.
That's true.
I mean, she had look at a lot of these.
Yeah, a lot of people overcome abuse, you know.
A lot of people have abuse, neglect, you know,
abandonment.
Yeah, disadvantages in life. And they're just some of the most biggest world changers. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this, Sarah and I, my roommate, we were talking about how, you know, I don't really relate. Okay, this is a blanket statement. Hear me out. People that come from wealth and that's all they know, and they've lived a certain lifestyle, even though they may be nice people or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're bad. There's a certain kind of numbness that can be associated with that. And I'm not saying that they're again bad people, but they've been living a certain way that's normal to them, and there's a certain kind of entitlement that can come with that. And I noticed this first when I worked one of these really lavish Persian parties. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there were celebrities there and everything. And they had a whole room that was just a chocolate room.
Mm.
Tons of chocolates.
Really?
And me and some of the girls were like, oh, my gosh. We were, like, sneaking chocolates and stuff. And we're just looking around this house going, oh, my gosh, can't believe that. Oh, my gosh. And just this great food and just fun. And it was just, like, this beautiful, beautiful mansion. And we're just, like, astounded by it. But not just the things, but the how festive it is. And all these people start driving up, and they have beautiful gowns on. But everybody seems bored.
Mm.
You know, they seem bored. I'm like, you're around the most beautiful things right now. You have music going. People are you can get up and dance if you want. It's just, they're bored. This is normal to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, And I know it's considered like, you know, kind of quote unquote low class to be, you know, wowed by anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that. I like being able to appreciate things. And hopefully I won't lose that. I mean, I pray I won't, where I'll be able to still find, you know, the pleasure in the smallest things and the simple things. And so when you do get big stuff, how much greater can you appreciate that, right?
Right.
Hopefully. But I've noticed that with people. There's just kind of this, kind of bored thing.
Yeah. Well, you need a lot of stimulation these days, I think, to get excited about anything, you know?
Really? That's not, it shouldn't be that way, though.
Well, you know, I mean, there's just so much stimulation out there that you become numb to it.
No, you're right, when it comes to, like, advertising and things. But, like, when I was at this...
Not only that, you know, but working a lot of hours and, you know, having to deal with the driving and all that. I mean, that's a lot of stress, you know, a lot of stimulation, I think. And, you know, maybe people are just tired, you know?
But then I just don't get it. But there's kind of like this vibe. And when I worked at the spa, and there was it's a very, very expensive spa, and so people come in, they valet, they call in their laundry, everything's done for them.
Right.
It was an interesting kind of vibe, just casually observing. Obviously, I'm not talking about individuals because I don't know them, but just the tone was just, I don't know, just kind of a very expectant, very sterile.
Mm.
Sterile.
Right.
Like, you get people that are kind of like, you know, they've lived life and they've kind of been jacked around a bit. Like, I have a really good friend of mine. He's nuts. He's had a very, very colorful life, but he's one of the most vibrant people you want to be around. Mm. He appreciates everything.
Right.
He could be broker than a joker, and show up to my house, and we're having a potluck, and I know the dude doesn't have any money. He'll freaking bring tuna fish.
Really?
He'll make a freaking tuna fish. He'll make hamburger helper and bring it to a potluck and put like crackers on top. And I mean, I love his heart. I love that it doesn't matter what we're doing. He's not coming empty-handed. And maybe some of people don't eat his shit, but it's like it's the sweetest thing when somebody's just wanting to come and bring something and they are so happy to be there.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. You know, but you got to have it in your genes, I think, you know, to be like that.
No, I don't think so.
Some people are just not.
It's conditional. It's environmental. It's what you've been through. It's your experiences that shapes you. That's what I'm trying to say is some of the most amazing people that are the artists that we love and the authors and, you know, actors, actresses, talk show hosts, all the people, those generally are people that have been through a lot of things, and they have a lot to bring. They got a lot of life.
Right.
There's a lot of character that develops because character, let's be honest, it's through adversity.
Yeah.
It's through challenge.
But do you agree that to some people happiness comes easier than for others?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I think it has to do with temperament. I think it has to do with upbringing, and you know, I mean, there's some biology in that as well.
Yeah, I definitely can't disagree with you on that. I mean, there's definitely biology, but I don't believe that that's the determining factor for everything. Do you know what
I mean? I mean, it's obviously up to you to make things better for yourself. You know?
I mean, I know some people that seriously struggle with seeing the glasses half full.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that'll be the way they are their whole life. And maybe that's their struggle. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, you can't browbeat people to see it your way. I've learned that. I've tried. It doesn't work. Uh-huh. I'm like, just be fucking happy, okay? Just get happy. Get happy!
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. You see? That's the thing.
But I do feel, though, that... there is, you know, people just, there, everything has to be like, you know, they talk about behavior modification, like behavior replacement. Thought replacement is really big in psychology, and it's not so much the meds, but like, well, that too, but really getting people to retrain the way they think.
Right.
I mean, that takes a lot of work, just like any of us, if we were trying to retrain the way we think. But a lot of people, I mean, we operate out of fear. So with that comes anxieties, that comes inhibitions. You know, lots of things kind of come with that. And I, you know, so when people are worried, the root of worry is fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say you aren't concerned about things in your life, but worrying where, you know, you're knotted up, you're tense.
Mm-hmm.
Those things don't serve us because...
No, they don't. I mean, you're living in the future when you worry, you know?
Absolutely.
When you feel guilty, you live in the past. So you have to live for the now.
Yeah.
You know, so I agree, you know, and worrying is not going to change the future. What's going to change it is action.
That's true, actually. Well
yeah,
done.
Yeah, so worrying is not, it's not beneficial to anyone.
I know, I hear you. So that's kind of how I feel. I just think that, so going back to people having kids, it's like, yeah, I look at people going, it probably wasn't the best idea for you to have kids, but then you look at the people that they've produced, and you see that the life that's come out of it, and I know some really amazing people in my own personal life who have been through some crazy stories. That's why when people go, oh, man, you've had a crazy life, I kind of go, really? Because I know so many people that this is nothing.
Yeah.
It's very relative.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a friend of mine
who
was in the foster care system. His mom was on the streets and everybody knew her as a prostitute. He was in one of the foster care homes. The woman treated him really, really nice. And then one day he didn't make his bed.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to starve him. Wouldn't feed him.
Really?
Yeah. And so she wouldn't feed him. And he was a little boy. And then he was so hungry, he like went in the cookie jar to get a cookie. And she caught him. And she put him outside. So during the day, he had to be outside in the backyard like a dog.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
And so then he ran away and lived on the streets in high school.
You see, that's the thing. I mean, like you said, some people are not made for parenting and they shouldn't have kids. You know?
But then you look at this guy. This guy's amazing. Like the guy I know that he's been through all this.
Right.
He has such a vision in his heart. He is such a great personality.
Mm-hmm.
He's so loving. He's so compassionate.
Yeah.
He's one of the most amazing people.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, wow. So that's kind of like when they start having conversations about abortion or about genetic engineering or about, trying to weigh the outcome of somebody's future based on their circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a really slippery slope because some of the most innovative people, I'd say most of the innovative people, they've come from some kind of adversity.
Right.
Yeah, there's some of the most biggest world changers came from, you know, humble beginnings or crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, crazy.
Yeah, because sometimes I think it gives you a certain drive, you know, to rise beyond that and,
yeah.
and accomplish something in your life.
Yeah, and I think that some people that haven't had a struggle or, in, you know, in some ways, it's like you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a zest there.
Mm.
There's not an excitement. And I know a friend of mine who's acting coach at a conservatory. He was auditioning people, and this one girl he auditioned, he goes, go get your heart broken, then come back and see me.
Mm.
He's like, you're not ready to act. You don't have anything to give.
Yeah.
Because art imitates life. If you don't have the life, what is your art going to imitate?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really profound, especially in this town. Because a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm doing it. And they're all just kind of grasping at the air, searching for emotions. But they don't have anything in them. Not that they don't have it, but they haven't tapped into it or they haven't been through enough life to kind of dig deep and reflect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's good to dig, but after a while I realize, you know, with age, it's like you don't dig anymore. You know, you sort of like move on and, you know, I mean, digging is not the best thing to do.
Well, what do you mean? Like, I mean, like sitting around and being like self-absorbed about your past.
Yeah, you
I
know,
agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm just talking about like artists and people that are, their
yeah, like
job,
creatives.
Their job. Well, part of it is. Being in tune with things means you had to have been broken down a bit to be able to be open
right.
to other people's pain, other people's issues, other people insensitive and be a great observer and able to imitate things like that.
Right.
And I'm just saying for people that have had a very smooth ride, quote unquote, nobody's really had a smooth ride in this world, but, you know, smoother,
mm-hmm.
if you will, you can see it on people.
Yeah.
And not everybody. There are different people that have had that and are amazing and they're some of the best artists and it's not a factor for them.
Right.
But I'm saying generally. You know what I mean?
I do.
Anyway, that's what I'm saying.
I do know what you mean.
I just think that that's interesting.
Yeah. So what's the situation with Bret Michaels from Poison? He's still in the hospital.
He's going to be...
And he had a brain hemorrhage.
Okay.
You know? I mean, how do you recover from something like that?
Well, this happened to my aunt. She had a brain aneurysm, which is different from what he had. But the same thing is a bleed on the brain, which means... clearly what it means is that the blood is now on the brain and it's between like obviously the brain and skull.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes time for the blood to be reabsorbed into the body.
Mm.
So it's through that can cause damage sometimes
right.
because it's like if you have electrical sparks
mm-hmm.
and you put the, it's like raw, you know, raw nerves and you put the blood on it. It's like, you have all these things. So you have a huge factor of motor skills going out, vision, speech, depending on parts of the brain that it hits,
yeah.
which is why when people have strokes or things like that, there's bleeding, they have to do recovery or they may never regain
right,
certain
right.
parts.
Yeah.
But I
see,
think
I don't know whether he's going to come back, you know. I mean, doctors remained hopeful for a full recovery, but that's about it, you know.
Mm.
And this is funny because I totally forgot about him, but the other day I switched on the TV and he was on Celebrity
Apprentice.
Uh-huh. And then he got a call. He had to leave because his daughter, something happened to her. So this is like really weird, you know.
Hmm.
And I don't know if they. I think they already filmed it.
Oh, Celebrity
right?
Apprentice?
Yeah.
They already
filmed it, so it's not like it's going to disturb the show or anything.
I don't think so. He is a very... I like him on Celebrity Apprentice. Have you watched it?
Like I said, just a few minutes of it.
Well, you know, on Rock of Love, he's just like this overly self-involved ex-rocker who has all these, you know, not the hottest, but, you know, desperate band groupie girls all over him. And it's just trash. It's trash. And it's drama, and it's stupid, and it's funny at the same time. Well, then he comes on Celebrity Apprentice, and... He's just got a real sensitive kind of sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to fit in.
Right.
He wants the guys to like him because he's in the guy group.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wants to be in the mix.
Yeah.
He's like, what's going on? He goes, I will sweep the floors. I'll do this. I'll be your right-hand man. He wants to be, he's a little bit of a leader in his own way, but he also just wants to be included.
Yeah.
It's really sweet. His total disposition.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sweet guy. But he's recovering right now. And I think he's in stable condition. And I think that they're still waiting to get the most, you know, the results back. So,
yeah.
But I think he's doing well.
I know. It's pretty, pretty scary. He's 47 years old only, you know,
47. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not old.
He had a hemorrhage, but what did he hit
yeah,
his head or a stroke?
Yeah, brain hemorrhage. I don't know. It just happened to him, you know? Bless you.
Yeah. So, Sam, which U.S. state has the most immigrants? Take a guess.
Texas?
Let's say.
Or California.
Texas or California. Pick one.
Immigrants. I would say California.
Okay. Okay, so immigration in America began around 1492, right? And then since then, almost every U.S. State somewhere, there's not too far to look for, blah, 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 blah. Immigrants are everywhere, basically. So here are the top five states with the total number of foreign-born residents that each had in 2008, according to the American Community Survey. So, California, that is going to be a little over 9 million, well, almost 10 million.
In California?
Yeah.
Is that really the first one? The top one?
It's California, New York, Texas, Florida, then Illinois, which is weird. Why Illinois?
Yeah. Because Chicago, maybe.
Oh, okay. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
But I'm not surprised. Yeah. New York is, I thought, was totally up there.
Oh, you did? So yeah. New York is second, and then
right.
Texas.
Yeah.
So Arizona, which sparked controversy when lawmakers passed new legislation aimed at identifying and prosecuting illegal immigrants, finished at number 8 on the list with 900,000. Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
So that's so interesting, isn't it? So they're number 8 on the list, and they're not. But that's not illegal immigrants. These are native born.
Right. Right.
So I think that's different.
Not native born, but legal ones.
Legal. Well, it says here, it says total number of, you're right, of foreign-born residents.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but they're residents, so they're
yeah,
legal.
You're not an immigrant if you're born here, obviously.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, but these are residents. Okay, so that means
right.
they're legal.
Right.
Okay. So what do you think right. about that?
What do I think about what?
The Arizona thing. I talked about it again with a friend last night.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about it. Why don't we leave it for tomorrow when Reese comes in here and
let's talk
about things like that. You know?
Okay, let's do it.
So that'd be cool. But we're going to take a short break because our guest should be here, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Thank you.
phone lines are open on Sam and Karen in the morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, you were talking about crapping in public restrooms.
I did.
Someone just did, and it smelled awful.
Oh, really? Who did?
I almost threw up.
And you, oh, you talked.
You didn't go in the men's room by any chance.
No, I was just telling him. I was like,
ladies' crap doesn't stink. Don't you know that?
No, I know that.
But I was just telling.
In fact, ladies don't crap. Period.
Listen,
right?
I was just telling Sam. I was like, He was like, where were you? I was like, I had to go to the bathroom. There's somebody in the bathroom. I was waiting for them to leave. It was you. But I was like, whatever. I gotta go. And then she comes in here to sit down. I was like, yes, I had to go. Drop it like it's hot.
It didn't smell.
Okay,
did
good.
Smell.
Did you guys hear that? Yeah. That's so bad. That was not any hot guy. Yeah, but did somebody just take a big crap in the men's room?
Yes.
It was me actually.
Was it?
Okay. But I mean, it is kind of. I mean, I live with roommates and a lot of girls. So, and there's one bathroom. So it's just, you know, it's everything you think it would be, right?
Yeah.
So, but there's something about having to like be in that area of somebody else. It's like, it's not that yours smells any better. You're just like, don't want to be in you. It's like,
Well, it's not. You know what? It's even like the sound. It's like you're next to somebody. And you hear like.
It's just too intimate. It's like forced intimacy. You're like, I just,
yeah.
I'm gonna let you,
yeah.
I'm gonna let you work that out. So anyway, so you just came back from that.
Yeah, I came back from that. I didn't think. But that's me.
I didn't think guys ever really like. I didn't think they cared. Number two. I thought that they didn't really do that either. I thought that they were like, they just go in there and they pee, and that guys have a real phobia of that.
No, not at all. Most people have no problem with that whatsoever.
Except for you.
And the worst thing is when they leave a turd in there, you know. Then it's like I throw up for sure.
Well, what about the urinals? Like, how does that work out? Like, yeah. You're standing next to each other and you're like.
Yeah, you stand next to each other. That's why I can't do it. If there's someone at the urinal, I go in the stool.
Every time I ask a guy, I'm like, how's this thing work? You whip it out. The dude's next to you. You both don't want to look, but you're kind of curious. It's just a human thing. Like, my roommates would walk around naked, and I've seen them naked all the time. But if there's naked in front of me, I'm going to look at naked.
Yeah.
And my roommate's 6'2 without heels. Okay.
Oh,
so I'm like,
wow.
She's like, don't look at my vagina. I'm like, I'm sorry, but your vagina's at my eye level right now. I can't help it. You know, cover that shit up if you don't want me to see it.
Exactly.
You know, but my point is if I was a dude next to a dude, I'd probably look just out of a human nature kind of thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Totally.
Yeah, comparison, you know.
Well, I look when they're clothed.
There you go. That too.
Yeah.
That too.
So, but at the urinals, there are separators, you know, so you don't really see what's going on in the other side. But some of them don't, you know. And even with the separators, you are standing right next to someone.
Yeah.
You know, and taking a leak. It's not that pleasant an experience, you know.
I'm just telling you, I'm not feeling it.
I used to be able to have like a really shy bladder, so if there was anybody in that restroom, I could not go.
Did you take it to therapy?
I should have. Well, let's introduce who we have here.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
We have Char sitting next to me. How are you doing, Char?
Good, how are you?
And we have May, and you both have a show called Going Commando, which I love, by the way.
Thanks.
And you guys started, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And today is going to be the fourth show, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yay.
So tell us a little bit about the show. What is it about? What should we listen for?
Well, it's pretty much anything and everything. The idea generally originally was a kind of a happy hour feel where friends get together and you talk about anything and everything, and we try to mix it up with silly just thoughts, random thoughts, and topical things, and maybe otherworldly things.
Sounds a lot like this show, you know. No planning, no preparation. We just
do it. Yes, I send lovely little outlines of 10, 12 pages just to have an idea. So can you have a little?
Yeah. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, I'm just going to show up and figure out my topic.
Yeah. Well, I like doing both. I just kind of feel like, for me, just in case for that dread dead air, you know, I don't want to have dead air.
So. Yeah, no, yeah. You won't have dead air when you have a few people. And you guys usually have guests on the show, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we have a musical artist every week.
Oh, cool.
It's an indie artist, and we usually have them play two or three songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice because they're actually all really, really talented, talented individuals that play all around Los Angeles and tour and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's really the like one of the cool things. And then we usually try to also have a comic. We're both comics, so then we try to have a guest comic and a musical artist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I know, comics all over this town, you know?
I know, they think they're funny.
Kira supposedly is one too, but I never laughed at her.
Whatever. Now, when you've got nice, you know, hoo-hoos, you can say anything.
You know, it's weird. I guess it is weird having boobs. No, it's not weird having boobs. I don't know. It's just
big boobs.
For Sam, it would be weird.
Yeah. No, they're always we got a long history about that.
We got in a fight over these boobs.
They're good friends of mine, but I never really got that intimate with them.
No, I've gotten a lot of shit for this. Then I give it back to him. Anyway.
Do you have names for them?
I don't know. No, we're not going to do that. No,
really?
I'm not feeling names. I think, do you guys name yours?
You know what? I don't, but every guy I go out with seems to name them. And
really?
Even the random people that watch, they're like, hey.
Yeah.
Really?
You have pretty prominent ones, too,
I do.
Right? You're not showing them off today,
no.
But sometimes you do.
Sometimes I do.
Yeah.
What do you name them, or what have they been named? Do you mind us?
My tits. They're like, they are my tits. And I'm like, really? They're like, my tits. And I'm like, they're like, how are my tits doing? And I'm like, last I checked, they were attached to my body.
Oh, the guys will say
Guys. Oh, yeah. Guys, like, have all sorts of names, you know?
Really?
And the weirdest thing is, like, when you're driving, and they're like, hey, how are the chichis doing?
Yeah.
You want to come to my place? And I'm like, yo.
Yeah, the rest of you would like to show up, maybe.
I'm feeling it.
Do you feel like they just want to take your boobs on a date and not you?
You know, it's really weird.
Yeah, really, right?
I actually had a boyfriend, and I think guys' sexuality is, I feel like women's job, and everybody's different, so maybe this isn't y'all's style, but I feel like with women's jobs, they have a responsibility to monitor and kind of harness men's sexuality because, to be honest, I know. But the thing is it's about, I think, like a timing with this stuff, because what I found out is, like, if you let them get too sexual too soon, they start taking an ownership before there's really that respect there.
Hmm.
So I was with somebody who I really, really, really liked, amazing guy, and we just started getting a little physical, and I started noticing a sense of, like, he just thought he could just, you know, anytime just, you know, try to grab or whatever. I started being we need to redefine boundaries here. I started realizing there was a bit of, like, he was just so turned on that I felt like it wasn't even me anymore.
Mm.
I was like, why don't you just, you know, like you said, I'm going to leave you alone with these boobs. Let me know when I can have them back, and I'll see if they're free Thursday, and you can take the boobs out for a day. That's how it starts to feel, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you don't understand what it does to a man, though, to see
that.
Well,
you don't understand. You know, I'm not stressing out. Men need to work on, like, learning how to, like, you know, cool it a bit or put some ice down there.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I mean, you have to be classy about it, you know. I mean, and you know, not just go and grab them, obviously.
Right. Exactly. But
at the same time, you still turned on.
No, but you have a sense of tact, right? And a sense of self-control.
Right.
You're not just an animal, even though you see things and you're turned on. It's not going to be out of your control, right? I'm tired of this. I'm a man bullshit.
Well, you know what, though?
It's primal, though.
I don't know. What I have been finding lately, actually even more than lately, that women actually do the same thing. Men and women will come up to me like a radar with their hands. And I'm like,
oh, no.
You're touching me. And now it's like, I'm not even phased by it anymore. I'm like having a beer and people are like fondling my breasts.
Yeah, it's almost like they're not, it's not like it's a whole part of you, a whole person.
They're just like mesmerized. Like, oh my God, are they real?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what's interesting about the sexual drive thing too? I mean, as a female, I've always had that same thing. And you were talking about getting to a point where it's, you sort of wait a while for the proper time or the respect or whatever. And
yeah.
I've tried doing that. I've tried doing the, hey, we're both into it, let's do it, you know, early on. And I still don't get the call back whether I do or whether I don't. So I'm not sure
that's funny.
What the issue is. Yeah. But
this shit ain't working. This ain't working. That. Boom. Done.
Well, the thing is, too, is like that guys say, well, men have the sexual drive and, you know, it's different with women. I'm saying, no, it's not necessarily different with women.
Yeah.
But I think it's called, you know, it's not all about the sexual area.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it is. Women and men are just different. It's not that women are like, you know, have sexual lobotomies. It's just that they need other stimulus in addition to. And
men can just focus on one body part and fall in love with it, you know. For women, it doesn't happen, you know.
Yeah.
But when you look at most of these fetishes and stuff, it's men that have them, you know. And because they fall in love with a certain part. That's
why aren't men
he's
more
a boob man. Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, duh.
That's why we consume so much porn.
Oh, fetishes, which reminds me, years ago, I saw an ad that this guy wanted women with pretty feet because he wanted to photograph them.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen that one, too?
No. I was doing a play, and this guy, like, at the end was taking my picture, and I wasn't paying attention. I was like, okay. And then when he left, they were like, that's the foot fetish dude. He was just taking pictures of your feet. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Isn't that awkward? Yeah. I was new to L.A., and I was in the Valley, and I was going to some class or something. It was at the Valley College. I was looking something up. This guy, I was young. I was from Texas. I'm like, people don't fucking walk up to you in Texas. Howdy, ma'am. How you doing? Can I just get a picture of your elbow real quick? Hi. I swear I'll use it in the most appropriate context. We just like elbows. We're the International Association of Elbow Likers. And but my point is he tried doing the foot thing. I was like, oh, I need to get a pedicure and stuff. Let's not do this. He's like, no, I like it all raw and normal.
Yeah, that's the thing. They like it stinky and stuff.
I was like, no, you're not going to get up on my – and then I think I went to the website, and it's like some nudity with like feet everywhere, and you never know what they can do with those images. To me, that's just another example of people that when people are too fixated on a body part,
exactly.
It's like a disassociation of the human. You're human. You're a part now. Like, this is just a part.
Right.
It dissembles humans, you know?
But the thing is, can you imagine some guy that was, like, obsessed with your elbow and you're just constantly rubbing your elbow all over?
It's a whole new meaning to rubbing elbows, right?
Yeah, it would totally be like, hey...
Here's my elbow.
Well,
at least if you weren't in the mood, you'd just be like, baby, just kiss my elbow.
Yeah, really. Just let go. Here you go. Yeah, it'd be easier. I actually, I went to church. I was going to this church, and this guy I knew, friend of mine, who we're like at this hangout, this Christian Bible study thing, and you know, and it's a predominantly black church, and most black people, what I love about them is they let it hang out. They're not like stuffy or. You know, there's a different cultural tone where everybody's just kind of a little bit more upfront and real.
Keeping it real, which
I really that's more my style, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that some people the cultural tones, you know, are different. And so he straight up was like, there's a few of us just left. We were just sitting around talking, and he's just talking about his foot fetish in the middle of this Bible study. And he's like, yeah, I'm trying to work on my foot fetish. He's like, I go to church, you know, and some of these women be wearing these high heel shoes, you know, and I be looking at the high heel shoes, and they got the leather skin, the toes popping out. And I just can't even look it down at the floor sometimes because of all the high heels that I see.
Oh.
And I thought it was cool. They're just open and honest about it. And it's just, but I don't connect with that kind of. You know, I've got my own stuff, but I don't really connect with, you know, a foot thing.
Yeah.
I mean, good, clean feet, go for it. Good. I mean, feet are pretty, but just to that be your thing?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you wonder where that comes from.
Yeah. But I think it has to do with domination, too, you know, and people want to be dominated and stuff, you know, and the feet is definitely something.
Interesting.
Yeah, so a woman can dominate you with her feet. I mean, there's people like into trampling and shit, you know. And imagine that?
I didn't even want to know all
how screwed up. How screwed up do you have to be to want someone to step on you, you know, and it turns you on.
I know. I find missionary position kinky, frankly. So, hey, what does that say? And it's like, well, you're talking about fixation or anything. It's like if you obsess on sex as the end all and be all, love sex. Well, it is, but it isn't. I mean, we all love it, right? But if you're 24/7, after a while, anything becomes a little...
Well, could you imagine how good your abs would be after 24/7
sex? That would be. Yeah. That's a point.
Yeah. No, I've been surprised at how much of a workout I've gotten from sex. You know, if it was a little more active, I probably could just skip those workouts because, you know, the back, the thighs, everything. You're like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The handstands.
Yeah, everything, you know. Maybe. Yeah, there you go. Boom. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
in
especially if you have a guy that twists you like a pretzel, you know.
Twists you like a pretzel.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, I'm looking for some takers.
Yeah.
So are you ladies dating anybody? What's going on?
Go ahead.
Dead silence. I'm a bride of Jesus.
Oh, are you?
Well, yeah, I'm waiting for the second coming or something like that. Oh, there's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, no, I know. No, I didn't know if that's for real or not because I am a Christian, so I didn't know if it was like funny or if it was real. Either way, I'm digging it, so don't worry about it.
Well, it kind of is. I mean, I'm not like a typical Christian as people define themselves, but I do believe in the Lord, and I think, you know, walking on water and changing water into wine and all that. I'm all down with the miracles and all that crap.
Yeah.
I'm thinking as a consciousness, but... So it's in that sense, yes, that it's sort of a joke and sort of no. But actually, short story long, no.
No, I hear you. I'm trying to be celibate. Operative word, trying. You know, I'm working on it. But Yeah, she's like, girl,
she's doing a great job, Eddie.
No,
yeah.
I don't know.
You're well, blowing up all these guys one after another.
Yeah, quality. Yeah, quality.
Yeah,
not
she's
quantity.
After the quality.
Yeah,
we'll find her something on a dating site. And a Christian
oh, God,
dating
no.
site.
Christian dating. Oh, no.
Just say no.
I've tried it, actually. It's quite entertaining.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting so much material from
yes.
being on these sites.
Oh,
it's
really?
Awful.
Really?
I had this this guy tell me that he can't get alcohol doesn't affect him.
Okay.
And so he was only drinking because I needed to drink.
Okay.
So he was trying to get you drunk, and so he had to drink too to make you feel okay. With
yes,
it.
You know. I was like, what? Like, where are you from? Like, where? I mean, alcohol does not affect you.
Yeah.
Like, are you from Mars?
Like who doesn't? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was the most miraculous thing
so
I've ever heard
so
of.
So it was just not a good date?
Most of my dates aren't very good
really?
Dates.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's really awful.
What are your dates like, generally?
Too I'll long.
Really? Too long. Really? Do you do, like, do you screen people before you go out? Like, what? Or do you just go, let's just go out, take it?
You know what? A lot of times I'm like, let's do it. We've done the email stuff and the phone. Because,
yeah.
like, you could do emails and emails. Like, one guy, I literally emailed for, like, 2 months. And then we talked on the phone for 2 months. And then I finally met him, and he was, like, 120 pounds heavier than
really?
His pictures.
Oh, that's
wow.
I was like, yeah. what happened to the hot soccer coach in his picture?
Yeah. I think yeah. that I find that with the internet thing, which is why I'm not that... I do it more like when they offer me the free thing. I'll be like, oh, let me check out the merchandise, see what we're wearing. Well, let's see what's going on this month behind door number 3. But I find that there's so much that of naturally, say 90% of communication is nonverbal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when the primary amount of communication you're doing is through words and mm-hmm. through, and then you go to the phone, you're missing so much of that natural
yeah.
attraction
yeah,
or not attraction. So
yeah.
it kind of prolongs the inevitable.
Exactly.
I mean, and here's, I was telling Sam this. I was like, this one site that, I was on. I'm only on one, but it goes instant message. Somebody wants to instant message you, and
oh.
they don't have the photo right.
Oh,
this is a Christian site, so I'm really awful. So I'm like, well, I don't know what's behind door number 3. Let me just
door
click.
Number 3.
So I accept it, and then it turns out to be somebody I'm really not attracted to. Immediately, I see the picture, and so I just click out. Like, hey, how's it going? Boom, click out. I don't even respond. I act like I had a computer failure.
Yeah.
Then a couple guys started catching on to this, and like. We're like, you're so cold and mean. Well, you just open up the, you just accept it just to see the photo, and then you just click out. Who does that? I was
guys.
Like,
everybody.
It doesn't matter how you cut. Does not matter how you slice it. Either you're gonna be attracted to somebody or you're not. It's part of it is biological,
right,
and
right,
I believe in
yeah.
the inner stuff. I want inner stuff too, but at the same time, if you've got like, you know, if you're rocking a whole back hair situation,
oh.
and or my point is if I'm just,
or well, we have the
yeah.
same size boobs that does
oh,
not
hey,
work.
No.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go. That's a bad.
There's, it's just like,
guy.
And it's like, it's. I was saying about men taking rejection versus women. I think women
yeah.
take rejection a lot better. And I realize
more I'm, used to it. I don't know.
I think women just. I mean, I think we just have a sober, maybe more of a sober understanding. I know I'm not gonna be every guy's type. I'm not gonna sit around and go be pissed off about it and get mad at them because they're
right.
not into this.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Well, even though they're all idiots, they can't see how beautiful I am.
I know.
Like,
oh my God.
But no, my point is, you know, men. Sometimes it's like, oh, you're rejecting me. Well, look, dude. I mean, we're all on here for the same reason, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Or hopefully the same reason.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
and I'm here to tell you, man, it doesn't matter what you look like necessarily, because I have actually found Bob Hoskins sexy. I found Danny DeVito sexy.
Really?
I know some people are going, and I'm, because I'm looking at the quality of the person. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Or his
and,
paycheck.
Well, no, I actually,
yeah,
I'm kind of stupid that way. I mean,
no.
I would date an unemployed actor / comic if we were really hitting it off, because
right.
I'm kind of stupid that way. In
I don't
some
think that's
eyes.
Stupid.
No,
I don't either. But,
of that.
Know, but some people think it's stupid.
No, I mean, I'm like, I was talking to a friend yesterday. I was like, look, you know, if the guy's rocking a nice bank account, hey. Kudos to him.
There you go.
But here's the thing. I mean, there's a difference between lazy and then transitioning. And if I meet somebody mm-hmm. who has ambition, you know, if I
yeah.
meet somebody that has ambition and drive and they have dreams for themselves, I mean, and we really, really are operating and, you know, firing off on all cylinders, I'd go out with him. He doesn't have to be.
Oh,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, you know?
And waiting for lightning to strike. I mean, that's really kind of the thing. I think most of us can probably say we're waiting for some kind of lightning to strike, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
And I have this theory that, you know, there is a soulmate for everyone. I just think mine's already dead. So
I see. You got to go looking for
the
them.
The afterlife, yes.
Really? Oh, no.
Well, I think that's why you kind of just, you know, I look at dating as like a casting call.
Yay! Yeah.
There you go. You know?
That's true.
You're just not what right we're candidate. Looking for. It's not you're just not what we're looking for. You're just not quite. Is that how it ends? Like,
yeah.
No. Thanks
Don't
for coming
us,
out.
We'll call
thanks
you.
For coming out. You did a great job on the table read. I like your look. It's just not quite. What we're going for. Yeah, I don't know what direction the production's. Yeah, anyway, yeah, great. Bye.
Yeah, you're not the chemistry read. Sorry.
Yeah. That's funny.
Well, and then I think the issue becomes, okay, so that being the case, if we don't find that lightning, how do we feel whole and happy within ourselves if we don't have someone right. to bone?
Legalize prostitution.
There you go.
Yeah, I've thought about that one. Actually, a friend of mine, his dad owns like a bunny ranch and...
And Bunny Ranch.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Nevada?
He owns
one of them.
Really? Which one? I grew up in
Wait,
Vegas.
Real bunnies? I don't know which one it is, but you probably know it. I don't know.
Probably. There's
the Bunny Ranch, and then there's the other.
Is it called the Mustang Ranch?
Mustang is near Reno. But yeah, there's ones like literally near like Pahrump, where there's literally this
Pahrump. I love it.
The size of this room.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Where there's like three whores.
Oh my gosh.
And sometimes they're just waiting on the corner.
Oh, is it like that? What was it like growing up over there?
You know what? Vegas is very conservative, and it's a lot of Mormons.
Oh, no.
Like, you have the strip that's Mormons. Debauchery.
Uh-huh.
And then, I mean, when I was living there, I don't know if it is now, but it was the highest per capita of churches.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, people, like, literally, it's like two entities.
Right. And there's a lot of good schools there as well.
Oh, yeah. It's
you know, because I grew up in Vegas. I lived there from 76 to 80.
Wow.
And then from 91 to... 92 to 94. So let's say the late 70s and the early 90s I lived there. And the place was so different between those times. You know, I mean, 20 years have passed.
Yes.
And stuff. But the city, it's a city now. It's not a town anymore.
Yeah.
It's developed so much that I don't even recognize it anymore.
You know what? But the thing is, it still has that small town mentality.
Right.
Like, I went there for my high school reunion a couple of years ago, and I was wearing a low-cut shirt. And this girl comes up to me, and she's like... I have kids! And I'm like, what? And I'm like, are they in the bar?
Yeah.
And she was like, that's an inappropriate clothing you're wearing. Your boobs are showing.
It was a high school reunion.
It was a high school, yeah. And I was like, excuse me? And then later on, she's like, it's just, you're provocatively dressed. And I find that offensive.
Hater.
And I'm like, what? Yeah. But if you're on the strip, not a problem. But because I was
well,
on a
that's
local
how
ball.
It is in here in LA. Like I come, you know, obviously, like I live in Hollywood, you know, whatever, right? Whatever. And I literally go over the hill and I go to Sherman Oaks and I get a coffee and it's like, and that I get the families with the kids and the business people kind of looking at me and I don't think I look like a streetwalker.
No.
But I get that look. I get kind of like, who she thinks she is kind of look.
No, they're just jealous. They're hating you.
Well, I don't know. That's a convenient word, but I do go with that because it makes me feel good. But I do wonder, like I do, you know, like I have the, I've got the married friends now with the kids and they do the married friend thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You get to come as the single friend.
Yeah.
So, which is great. And I know they're all jealous of my life anyway. But what I'll say is we've had a few talks about my clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually done pretty lovingly. It wasn't judgmental, but it was one of those things where it is a different world and there's families and husbands and people are visual and it's, you know, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think you're showing anything. I mean, I do low cut and I'm not that big per se, but I mean, I sometimes it's just,
well, I'm just learning when I really don't want to force that in some, but his world that doesn't that doesn't want to see it.
But the thing is,
but what you're doing? Come on, you're a freaking reunion.
Yeah,
it
totally.
Probably was a nighttime event. And great.
Oh, completely. But what I think is funny, just back to that, it's if you wear you or I wear a low cut top, mm-hmm. it's a big deal. But if someone with smaller boobs, it's like whatever. It's
okay.
Like
yeah.
Why? It's like we already have enough issues with trying to find clothes that fit us
and look.
And
look
nice and whatever. And then it's like now we're also judged because we're like, quote unquote, traps.
Well, here's the thing, I think I like to dress however, you know, whatever the mood strikes. But it's also about not so much drawing attention to yourself. It's about feeling okay and good in your femininity.
That's
and
exactly what happens to me. And I'm learning a balance and I'm not always succeeding. But it's the balance of, you know, celebrating my femininity, embracing what I do have. And then at the same time, not doing it to a point that, you know, is too forward for some people. But you're never going to win.
Right.
It's just having sensitivity. So I've kind of and I'd walk the line a bit on it, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, shit, you guys just fucking be jealous. I'm working this thing out tonight.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, like, okay, you know. But I think that that's a weird situation that you were in, because that seems like she was out of line.
Yeah, no, I totally thought she was. I mean, she apologized later on. And
oh, did she?
But she got really hammered. She's like, I just want big boobs.
See, she was jealous.
Yeah, no, it was totally. But I was like, all right. She's like, I'm going to buy some.
I'm going to buy some.
I'm like, all right. I'm like, I'd gladly pass them over to you, because bra shopping is a bitch.
Is yeah. it really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think there's kind of this I mean, we're having major boob talk. You okay, Sam?
Boob radio.
Okay. I got my girl here, because she's packing some heat too. So from one big into another. Here's what I say.
I'm enjoying this. I mean, it'd be much better if we were all topless.
Here's what I'm saying. I feel, because this is my perspective. If we're gonna, I feel like there's, again, this is so generalizing to make the point, but again, not everybody fits in this category. I feel like there's this dividing line between women that have boobs and women that are flat-chested. And I'm not talking about the ones in the middle, but the women that are very petite on top and the women that have big boobs. I feel like there's this dividing line sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced a sense of judgment and a sense of kind of condescending towards me, like I don't know, like a weird kind of jealousy, because there is mm-hmm. power in your sexuality, right? Mm-hmm. And I've noticed some girls that are friends of mine that are very petite on top. Mm-hmm. They try to tell me how to dress. Mm-hmm. They try to tell me, well, this will look good for you. Oh, that looks good. That's good for you. And I had one friend say, no, ma'am, you may not wear that. I had a really good friend of mine before she learned how to, you know, talk to me. You know, you still learn friendship.
Oh, yeah.
Before I had to, you know, cut it down and smack around. But really good friend of mine. But she's like, no, ma'am, you may not wear that bikini top, because that's going to be too much weight on your neck, and it's just too much. I feel like there's this weird kind of, like, they don't like you getting the attention, mm-hmm. and they kind of start to kind of think it's sloppy and messy looking, and they kind of, there's like a judgment,
it's
a little
competition
bit.
Kind of
feel
thing.
Like it's a weird thing like that.
Yeah,
you know, sad. And it's from that angle going in, because women that have boobs aren't sitting there telling a girl with no boobs how to dress, and they're not saying this looks good for you, and we're not doing stuff like that.
Oh no, totally.
But it's funny. Have you experienced that at all?
Oh,
no?
Completely. And it's funny, because a lot of times I'm like, I don't want to deal with people looking at me. So, like, you know, I like to wear big clothes and whatever. And people,
yeah, I mean,
so then I get the top of where people are like, well, maybe you should really dress up.
Okay.
And maybe you should. And yeah, still telling me how to dress. I'm like, you know what? I do this because I still get attention. And it's like, I get attention all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want the attention.
You don't need it. You don't need it. Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, it's just funny, because it's like girls with smaller boobs, you know, they have to generally maybe do their hair more often. They have to dress a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have to do any of that. I roll out of bed and I'm just like being hit on. And I'm like, oh.
Isn't it true though?
Like, yeah.
I was on my little Christian dating site, and I'm telling you guys, you'd have been so proud. I have this picture of me. I never wear jeans, because I just don't have time to care if they fit or not. I just have time to fit. I don't know if they're fitting that day or not. I just don't do jeans. But I have a picture of me with jeans on, a black top that's coverage up to my collarbone, uh-huh. which is like not never happens. Up to my collarbone, to my wrist, and it's just like a cute little picture, right? But fully clothed.
Yeah.
PG all the way. And it's a fitted top, but nonetheless, no cleavage.
Yeah.
Everything, it's black. It's more of a silhouette, right? And I mean, talk about repressed. These guys were like, what size are they? And things like that.
Oh,
I know. On a freaking Christian dating site. I mean, if I wanted that, I could have gone to Match.com or
Craigslist,
Craigslist, plenty of fish. I could have done that. But I was like, what is with this? What is this? And I'm like, you guys can't even handle, even when I'm trying. It's like
exactly.
Even when you're trying. We're just so hot, as we were saying. We can't help it.
Yeah, but it's all really in the personality, isn't it, Sam?
I guess it is. You know, that's what it boils down to.
I think so.
Yeah, it's called 34G.
Ooh, really? I didn't even know G existed. Oh my God,
that's intense, girl. Do you have to get them specially made?
No, I bought every last bra in Macy's like 2 weeks ago.
Do it. I'll take that one, that one, that one, that one, and that one.
Yeah.
And I've heard of people getting breast reductions.
Yeah.
And then it grows back.
It grows back.
Ain't that a biatch? You know, you spent money, because it's just where your body distributes weight. You know, it's like for some women, and so that say their body just builds. You know, genetically. Can you imagine that? You go in, you're like, boom, we're taking it down a notch. I'm gonna be on the other side of the fence. I'm gonna be that girl, and then.
That's my problem. Like, I put on weight and it goes right to my boobs. And I lose weight and it does not go anywhere. I'm like, damn it!
No, mine goes right to my ass and my hips. I cannot gain weight in my boobs no matter. Yeah. Yeah. And this, the weird thing is, like, I'd heard years ago Roseanne Barr had had her nipple, her breasts reduced.
Oh, it's like her nipples.
Well, they moved. They removed the nipples and replaced them. And I like, that alone would be a
reason. No, I'm not doing that. No.
With all the scars and everything, it can't possibly look good, you know?
Yeah. I can't do that now because I've heard too you can possibly lose sensation there, and I'm just not feeling that.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna throw up a lot more before I freaking do that.
Yeah, just work on that bulimia bit.
Yeah, I'm like I'm really bulimia, anorexia, all that. I'm like, come on, we're throw up from the boobs.
Or use the cheap man's, you know, surgery thing. Just put like tape on them and lift them up that way over your back.
I'm already flipping up through my neck. Yeah. Tie them around so they're up there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you got to do, though, you know? Just do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Did you develop early in life?
So it
was a topic of conversation and interest.
It's always been a topic. Like, I was like 14 and like 30-year-old guys were hitting on
really?
Me. My mother would get so angry, and she's like, she's 14! She's 14! Like, yeah. Pull me away. Yeah. Or they'd be like, your sister's really hot, to my mom. And my mom's like,
That's rough. I saw BBC did a documentary called Me and My Big Breasts, and they do one called Me and My Small Breasts. But I watched the Me and My Big Breasts, and when they broke it down, I started to get mad about having big boobs. I mean, it went away in like 5 minutes because I'm like, hey, let's go. But in that documentary, I actually started getting really upset because of the mentality and how one girl who was really had a really big chest, she said it's always the joke. She's the joke.
Mm.
And her friends, and they started, you know, they filmed her around and they went to dinner parties and she was at a dinner with friends and something. And it just becomes the butt of the joke in some way. And there's this constant kind of like dig. And you become, it becomes normal and everybody's used to it and everybody just makes a joke out of it, you know?
Yeah.
But there's almost like a weird kind of putting you down as a person.
Yeah.
So you're kind of not as smart. And I know a guy, a friend of mine who, he's a rocker, and he says, you know, anytime I meet the girl with the blonde hair and the oversized implants, or big boobs, he goes, I just think she's automatically dumb.
Mm. Oh, man.
I just think she's dumb. Yeah. Just think she's dumb. And he's not saying that she is, but there's a stigma.
Oh, totally.
You know, and I started realizing all the under subversive things in society that, you know, it's just how guys are. And another friend of mine said, when a woman is dressed, you know, I guess provocatively. I don't even know provocatively is the right word. But
or just
you know,
attractively,
attractively. Or, you know, she's got a low-cut shirt on and she's got big boobs or whatever. He said that, you know, it doesn't really matter what she's saying at that point. The guy, it's like, woo. And then and he's like,
it's just white noise in the background.
Yeah, and you're talking. And then you think, and he's like, oh, and you think that you're smart and you're going to show him, oh, I'm not just pretty, I'm smart too. But they're going to go, oh, this one's still talking. Yeah. We got a talking one of these.
Well, you know what I also noticed with that, though, is if then they're finally like, okay, they get that she's smart. Like, okay, you're smart. You've got big breast. You're driven. And then it's like, oh, you're intimidating. You're too intimidating. I can't handle it. And it's like, well, what the hell do you want?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're dumb or you're intimidating. No, that's all you are.
I just stopped trying to fit in a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
It never really got me anywhere, so I gave it up, and that's pretty much it.
Be your best self.
Yeah, just be who you're going to be, and you know what? If you don't, you know, I'm kind of happy if I don't meet the, if I don't meet the right person, then life will be fine.
I'm going to be Samantha.
Samantha the witch?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Samantha on,
Samantha where?
Samantha
what
who?
Show?
Oh, Sex and the City.
Sex and the City.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's Samantha. I was thinking Bewitched. Damn,
yeah, I know. I was thinking
me.
That, too.
Oh, hey. Okay.
Yeah. Well, otherwise, we can just legalize or do our own porn or prostitution in Vegas. Yeah. We'll hit up the guys we want, you know.
Yeah.
Let's just do that.
There's so many different venues for that now.
It's awesome.
There are. There really are, if that's the route you're going to go.
Yeah.
Okay. You know?
Yeah. So, Shah, are you originally from Las Vegas? Or?
No, I'm actually originally from West Africa.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Cool, but I was little. And moved back from Africa to Trinidad and lived in Baddox, Michigan on a farm.
Really? So you've moved around, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
How come?
Well, my dad is an aerospace engineer.
I see.
He's a real man
scientist.
Of genius. Yeah, he is a smart guy.
This is
guy.
Rocket science.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. So do you have any memories of West Africa or no?
None. I just have these pictures of me with stray animals, which kind of, you know, I guess led to later life, too. I still pick up strays.
Yeah. That's funny.
No.
That's cool.
Yeah,
though.
But I've been out here for, it'll be 9 years in August.
In LA?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's gone by so quickly. I love it, though.
Oh, yeah, I was about to ask.
So you outgrew Vegas? Is that what it was?
No, you know what? I did a lot of acting out there. Like, I used to work for Star Trek The Experience.
Oh, and, really? Yeah.
And so do all this crazy stuff. And I was like, all right, I'm going to take the plunge and I'm going to come out to L.A. and be an actor who does everything now.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I hear you. Do it, girl.
Yeah.
I think there's value to that, though, because, I mean, as an actor, it expands your experience as a human being. And I just think it all feeds itself.
Totally. Know, I'll just be glad when someone actually pays me and I don't have to have 12 jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
I'm like,
yeah.
But that's part of being an actor, you know? I mean, it's there's a lot of sacrifice, I think, that goes with it.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. Yeah. Well, and you know, the thing is, like, I started doing comedy about 9 months ago, and I have to say that's probably one of the best things I've ever done.
Really?
Because I am so sarcastic and so crass most of the time that now it gives me carte blanche. Like, people would be like, Char, you're an asshole. Now it's, she's a comic. It's okay. Make fun of me.
You know, that is really funny, though. You do get away with stuff, but I've seen it miss. I mean, you're saying it funny, but there's people that really live that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's people that really live that way.
Oh, yeah.
Because I do comedy. I'm stand-up, and I'm, you know, you're like, there's some stuff that is sacred. There's some stuff that it's, you know, there's some stuff. But, I mean, you can't censor people, and I'm not about that. But it's interesting, like, the
taste.
Well, and not just that, but, like, Jamie Foxx has been quoted saying some bad things about Miley Cyrus. And then he's like, like, I'm a comedian. And I totally get where he's coming from. But I think that that's just kind of one of those out things.
Yeah.
It's like, avoid responsibility because I'm a comedian. But, I mean, obviously, you're joking. But or not. But you know what I mean? In that situation is different. But I've seen it really... it's not just a ha-ha. It's really like the way it is.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, and a lot of guys, too, from what I've seen anyway, a lot of guys think that they need to carry that vulgarity out into real life and that it's okay, and that if you're a female comic, automatically you're also on their level of vulgar.
Oh, I've experienced that. I'm like, when did I like, friends of friends, man, that are comedians, like, one guy was like, he said some things, and we're at, like, a picnic with families, and he said something, and I was like, And we've done shows together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it throws me off because I'm like, I just joke it off or laugh
right,
it off. Because,
right.
But I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't, you know, I'm not in your little club. I just,
it's a fun.
I know we do both do comedy, but
yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, you know what I find funny is that when, you know, comics are out in the world, and even I find people are like, oh, be funny, let's be honest. It's like, I'm trying to eat my sandwich at Subway.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to be funny all the time. I just kind of want to sit here and maybe, like, zen out or something. Right. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So you don't want to have to be on all the time.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. And I hate that. Tell me a joke. I got this joke I want to give you. And it's like, what?
Tell me a joke.
It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a curious existential thing, too. I mean, at least for me, it's I always call it an exercise in utility because I figure, well, what the hell else am I gonna do? I mean, right. I do these clerical jobs that are not really my zen groove per se, but I figure that just it's all part of finding your way as a creative person, as a person in general, and performing it.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I'm still trying to find my niche, I think.
Yeah, everybody is, I think, right?
Yeah.
Still figuring it out. I'm figuring it out.
Where do you usually perform?
I go through spurts where I do it a lot and then don't. I'm kind of in a lull right now. But I have done the Laugh Factory Comedy Store, the Improv. I was doing a lot of the Improv for a while, the side room, the Lab. And then, and then, like, you know, the M-Bar, things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
M-Bar. But right now I don't have anything on the books, but I've got a few things that I'm working on getting booked right now. So.
Cool.
But it just kind of fluctuates.
Yeah.
Ebbs and flows. And
I try to do it only every few months because a lot of those shows, because being in LA, everything's a bringer and it's about really promoting.
Yeah, too, yeah.
So I'm like, I can't do all these shows like every freaking week.
Yeah.
And you're like, I need people because that stresses me out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you promote and you promote. And a lot of times people don't. Like I sent the promotion, we were talking earlier, I sent the promotion for our first show to the fellow who is now no longer my manager, but he was one of the first people to decline my invitation to listen to a show that he could have, you know, he didn't even have to leave the house. He didn't have to put on any underwear. So it's kind of like, I don't know, is it me or is it just people? It's kind of a little bit of
Well, I think we're in like an oversaturated market.
Yeah.
There's not real audiences here that are like, hey, what are you doing Friday? Let's go see some comedy. They're, no, it's all comics. It's everybody's trying to get somewhere. And so you're pulling from a different... you know,
gene pool.
Yeah, it's very just different, you know, when you're doing bringer shows. So.
Well, I think even on top of that, it's like the thing, like, an average night at the Comedy Store, it's like if there's parking, it's $10 to $15, and then to get in, it's $15, and then two drinks, that's like $30. I'm like, that's a good $60 night right there.
Anymore, it's even that's really a struggle right now. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true. So it's hard for comics right now.
Yay.
You know, I think it's hard for everyone. You know, yesterday I went to the mall with my son, and I'm telling you, the parking lot was empty. I never remember it being like that, you know. So I think people are really hurting financially right now. You know, it's not a secret, but now you can really see it and feel it out there, you know.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? May, I was going to ask you, where are you originally from?
Me? I grew up in Riverside. My parents are from Argentina, you know. So I had an interest. I was like a little interesting. I grew up in SoCal at a time where speaking Spanish, I actually felt special. Now everybody speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to be able, like, if we wanted to say something that no one would understand, hablar en español, you know.
Yeah.
I was born in Northern California, but we came to SoCal by the time I was young, and my dad liked the Inland Empire, so I grew up in the IE.
I see.
IE. Yeah. What was it like there?
Interesting. Used to be a bunch of orange groves at the turn of the previous century. I went to school with a lot of the kids who were the wealthy families in town. We were just kind of middle class, and just kind of and I didn't feel it at the time, but in retrospect, I started to put some things together, and I thought, oh, maybe that was part of it, because I wasn't even in the in crowd for like theater club, drama club. I was like outside of the outside, and so I thought, well, maybe that had to do with the fact that we were a family of, well, the parents were immigrants. And I thought, well, maybe that was it. I don't know. It could have been. I don't know. But, Riverside was the city where Richard Nixon got married.
Yes.
So we have that kind of notoriety.
Nice.
They also did the, I know, huh?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I wouldn't admit that.
His buddy. Well, hey, you know, they also did a preview of Gone with the Wind. They drove out of L.A. to preview like one of their first cuts, a rough cuts or a semi-rough cut of Gone with the Wind. They drove out 60 miles from L.A. to preview it. That was a surprise preview, and I guess because everybody, there had been so much talk about it beforehand. Everyone knew they were making the film, and there was a lot of anticipation, and there wasn't any other media really in those days.
Right.
So, they did the premiere or like a pre-premiere or whatever.
Oh, that's
Gone
pretty
cool. Yeah. Fox Theater in Riverside. It's still standing as far as I know. And I saw The Exorcist there back in 19... And my friend
that
and
was
I...
was like 74, 75.
76, actually. But I
was
had
it?
A friend... Yeah.
Okay.
I had a friend who was an exchange student from Greece, and she stayed with our family for the last month and a half of her stay here in the States because her host family was going to visit. They were Greek, and they were going back to visit in Greece. So I went to see The Exorcist with her, and we were sitting there laughing at the green pea soup and all that stuff. And they had the warnings about, you know, people who are sensitive, heart attacks,
and blah, blah, blah,
should not
like
watch
that.
This movie.
I remember that. That was funny.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We are dating ourselves, but
we are.
What,
well,
didn't a lot of people,
what the hell?
Shara's going, what the hell are you talking about?
Didn't a lot of people walk out of the movie?
They may have. I think they did.
Like when it first started to hit theaters, wasn't it like people just didn't, they just walked out, right?
Well, yeah, and Carrie too, and that kind of thing. People are afraid.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. People dwell
I like
fear
fell asleep
lot.
When I, well, during the video rentals.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little different. Yeah.
But hey, who here can say that they remember the Ed Sullivan Show when it was actually airing?
There you go. I'm even too young for that one. But okay, so we have our time's just about up, so we have May as well, right?
Yes.
It might as well be May as well, right?
Yes.
Did people tell you that all the time?
Oh, yes, yeah. Darling.
I thought you kind of made up the name.
I had. It's an homage to sassy broads like Mae West and sassy broads like Little Me.
I see. But as well is the real name?
Oh, no, we cannot divulge that information.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, you do divulge it on the website, so. But at any rate, and we have Char Marie, of course.
Hi.
Thank you so much
Thank
for coming.
Thank you.
We had a lot of fun. The show is at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays, Going Commando.
Yay. Tonight.
And tonight, don't miss it, please. And Please come back again.
Yes.
You know, you guys
thank you for having
fun.
Us. Yay.
Yeah,
lots of fun.
Nice. Lots of fun. Awesome of ladies. Tune in tonight, 6 p.m. Is it every week? Or?
Yes. Every week.
Every week.
Yeah. Everything here is every
happy
week.
Happy day. Hump day, happy hour. Yes.
Hump day, happy hour.
You all are awesome. Thank you so much.
Yay. Of course. Thank you. And Kira, thank you, of course.
Thank you, Sam.
And keep those boobs in line, please.
Only if you keep yours in line.
I'll try.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.